Welcome to episode 83 of the Artist Empowerment Radio Podcast. I am your host, Bob Baker. So have you ever wondered if you're on the right career path? Have you ever thought to yourself, what's my purpose? What's my true passion? What am I meant to do in this lifetime? Have you discovered your right livelihood? Well, I hope to answer some of those questions on this episode. I'm also going to reveal a couple of stories from my youth that I've never really revealed in any other format or talked about before. I hope I've got your interest up. This is going to be a good one. Stay tuned. Again, welcome to episode 83 of the podcast. You know, over the last couple of episodes, I have been focusing on sort of an expansion of my career. After 20 years of being focused on music marketing and musicians specifically, and also several years of having a secondary niche, I guess serving and mentoring writers and authors, book publishers and so on, I decided to expand further and do something that would attract and be of benefit to creative entrepreneurs of all types. And so last June, I started a new interview series called The Creative Entrepreneur. I'm about to post my 20th interview that has been going well. Interviewed all kinds of cool people in all sorts of fields, including Pat Flynn, who's a kind of mover and shaker in the social media and blogging world. Interviewed Derek Sivers, the founder of CD Baby. Jeff Goins, a writer. Dan Miller, Ariel Hyatt, Carrie Cole. A lot of cool people, and also visual artists like Flora Boley and Tom Fedro. And so they're people in some sort of a career that's related to the arts, although it doesn't have to be, but they have an inspiring story. They're making a difference in the world. They're making a living doing their passion. And I'm really excited about this sort of new chapter of my life and my career. I'm still doing music marketing. I'm still doing the fulltimeauthor.com website. I haven't stopped doing those things. I'm just kind of expanding my audience. And so I sort of talked about that and revealed that shift in episode 81. In episode 82, I started reading some excerpts from a new book that's sort of related to this whole new thing. It's called The DIY Career Manifesto. I started off, I'm still actually giving away a big chunk of it at the website, DIYCareerManifesto.com. That also happens to be the website where I house and post all of these interviews, which are available as free YouTube videos and also audio-only podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher and other places. And so you can still go to DIYCareerManifesto.com and get a big section of the book. I also added several more sections to it, and it's also available for sale in the Kindle store on Amazon for just like $2.99. So I encourage you to check that out. But I've been sort of reading excerpts from it. So I started off in episode 82 with the introduction and the very first section. So you might want to go back if you missed it and listen to that so you hear it. It's sort of like a book on CD or a spoken word audio book here that I'm doing on the podcast. But go back to 82 if you missed that, listen to that first. And then in this episode, I pick up where I left off and talk about how do you define your career? How do you know what you're meant to do? And so I explore some of my personal experiences back going from childhood with some stories I've never really talked about before, things that shaped my life and my career. And then I give you some options to figure out what you're ideally meant to do so you can maybe decide whether the path you're on is the right one. Or if you're still trying to figure it out, this might help you get a little bit more clear. That's about it. So let's get into that reading from the DIY Career Manifesto. The Indelible Memory: How to Determine Your Perfect DIY Career Path. I probably didn't realize it at the time, but that moment would stick with me and have a profound influence on my life. You see, I've had an interest in writing since a young age. Sometime around the third or fourth grade, I started reading science fiction stories. I also watched a lot of those old Godzilla movies. For whatever reason, at that young age, I took to writing very short stories that featured flying saucers, alien invaders, and terrorizing monsters. Remember, I was only 8 or 9 years old. I did this mostly for my own amusement, but I slowly shared them with a couple of friends. Once I was caught writing one of these fantasy stories in the middle of a school day, and the teacher, Sister Florian, I believe, asked me to stand up and read it to the class. I was terrified as I sheepishly read it and quickly sat down. But the word was out that I was a writer. A few weeks later, I gathered with a group of boys for a Cub Scout meeting. The den leader was delayed in starting, so I reached into a folder and said, "Hey, if anybody's interested, I just wrote a new story." Instantly, a dozen hands darted out toward me as a chorus of voices demanded, "Oh, let me read it first! Let me have it!" A light bulb went off in my young mind. Wow, I thought, people are actually interested in reading something I created out of my imagination. That was a profound, life-changing moment. I had a similar experience a couple of years later at a family gathering when I was about 11. My cousins were taking turns standing up and singing Elvis Presley songs as the vinyl album played on a home stereo, kind of like a primitive version of karaoke. My mom was a big Elvis fan, and she had heard me sing these songs many times around the house, but never in public. I was an extremely shy kid at this age. So imagine my surprise when she blurted out, "Well, Bob, you should get up and sing a song." With the encouragement of the group gathered in the living room, I got up and started singing. I think the song was "Let Me Be Your Teddy Bear." I was tentative and shy at first, but as my small audience started clapping, I got more energized. Then I threw in an Elvis leg shake and hip swivel. When that got some hoops and hollers, I threw in a few more moves as a new adrenaline-induced confidence kicked in. When the song ended, the room erupted in applause. I collapsed on the couch next to my mom in a sweaty mess. I was exhilarated. Another profound thought entered my young mind. That was awesome. I need to find a way to do that again. Thinking back on these two pivotal moments of my life, it's no wonder that years later I ended up becoming a working musician, publishing a music magazine, and writing books on music marketing, which combined my long-standing interests in both music and writing. This is the story of you. While I'm sure you are enjoying these stories of my youth, the point here has everything to do with you. I truly believe when people find their true calling or design their ideal DIY career, they can trace the origins back to childhood. In other words, you make a living and a life based on being an authentic expression of who you are and who you've been since birth. It's not about learning a new skill just because that's where the economic trends are headed. The DIY career path is all about taking your unique abilities and then uncovering a small slice of the population that wants what you have to offer. It's okay to mold and spin what you do so that it appeals to a new trend or an emerging demographic, but at the core, it still holds true to who you are, what you do best, and how it serves others. So, what leanings and inclinations have been nudging you since you were young? What hobbies, topics, values, and activities have you been consistently drawn to over the years? For some people, it's obvious. I've heard friends and clients say that they've known since they were 3 years old that they wanted to be a dancer or a nurse or a teacher. Others discover their calling later in life, in their 20s or their 40s or even their 60s. However, some people go through life not knowing. They can't trace specific interests back to childhood. They either have a wide variety of passions and can't decide, or they aren't passionate enough about any one thing to clearly identify a path. If this describes you, my advice is to stop thinking in specifics. You can put too much pressure on yourself to select an exact job title, such as, "I am destined to be a portrait painter," or, "My true calling is to be a marine biologist who specializes in coral reefs." Instead, think in terms of more general qualities, values, and feelings. What is the overall common thread that holds together your hobbies, the things you have dabbled in over the years? For instance, perhaps you have varied interests in gardening, riding horses, and wood carving. One possible aspect that ties them all together may be your love for nature and the outdoors. Perhaps you love working on car engines, playing softball, and making barbecue chicken. There's no apparent overlap among these interests until someone points out how well you instruct others to change their oil, throw a change-up pitch, and marinate the meat to perfection. Eureka! Your true calling may be related to teaching. What if you still can't identify your true calling? If you still need help zeroing in on what your true passion is, there are many resources out there. Two popular ones are The Passion Test by Janet Bray Atwood and Chris Atwood, at thepassiontest.com. Another one is Strengths Finder by Tom Rath at strengthsfinder.com. In the PDF version of this book, I link to two worksheets from Marcus Buckingham, author of Go Put Your Strengths to Work, that I found on the Oprah website, along with some other worksheets that might help you clarify where to focus your efforts. Also, Barbara Scher and Barbara Smith wrote a book called I Could Do Anything If I Only Knew What It Was, How to Discover What You Really Want and How to Get It. But you may be asking, what if I have many wide and varied interests? Well, I've run across a number of people and resources in recent years that cater to the I don't want to focus on only one thing crowd. If that describes you, Barbara Scher also wrote a book called Refuse to Choose. Use all of your interests, passions, and hobbies to create the life and career of your dreams. And Emily Wapnick wrote a great blog post called Why Some of Us Don't Have One True Calling and Why We're Better Off That Way. I found it on a website called paidtoexist.com. There's a link to it in the PDF. But Emily also runs a website called PuttyLike, PuttyLike.com, dedicated to multi-potentialities, people who don't want to be limited to one true calling. I encourage you to enter this DIY career track from whatever angle works best for you. For me, personally, the refuse to choose philosophy did not lead to financial stability. There were many years in my 20s and 30s when I did a wide variety of creative activities. I was playing in rock bands, acting in plays, doing stand-up comedy and improv, publishing a newspaper, hosting a local music video show, painting with acrylics, and more. Whenever I discovered something that seemed like it would be fun to do, I did it with much enthusiasm. But the whole time, I struggled to bring in enough income to pay the bills. I spread myself too thin and didn't give any one activity the energy it needed to break through. I was having the time of my life, but I was just scraping by. It wasn't until I decided to focus on writing, publishing, and promoting books, using the internet as my primary marketing vehicle, that I gained some financial stability. And I credit this single-minded approach with gaining my full-time self-employed status. This doesn't mean I abandoned my other interests, not at all. I continued to engage in music and acting and art, and I even generated a little income from them. And I continue to do so to this day. But I made a decision to spend the bulk of my time on writing and promoting books and online courses. Everything else took a back seat to my main focus. However, you'll find exceptions to every rule, including mine. So use the books and resources I listed earlier, check your gut, and choose a path that makes the most sense for you. Well, there you have it, an excerpt from the DIY Career Manifesto. I hope you found that helpful. As I mentioned, the DIY Career Manifesto is available as a ebook in the Kindle store on Amazon, or it's got like 32 reviews, like 29 of them. Five star and then a few four stars, and people are really raving about this. I'm really proud of what I've written of this so far. Eventually, I'm going to write like another, 15,000 or so words and expand it further, and someday maybe do a Kickstarter campaign, make it a full, paperback book at some point. But there's a lot of good stuff in what is available so far in that ebook, so check it out. And you can also get a free sample of a good chunk of it at DIYCareerManifesto.com. Just get on the VIP email list there, and it'll not only give you that download, but I'll also update you every time I post a new interview in the Creative Entrepreneurs series. And those are some very inspiring interviews. So, if you're probably watching or listening, I should say, to this on iTunes or Stitcher or somewhere, and if that is the case, there's a separate audio podcast for the Creative Entrepreneur, so go ahead and search for that within iTunes or within your app or wherever you happen to be listening to this ad, and I'd love for you to subscribe to that as well. But I'm going to keep Artist Empowerment Radio going with my other thoughts for musicians and other creative people, I guess more essay type of things, my own thoughts, and leave most of the interviews at least for the Creative Entrepreneur. Anyway, that's it for now. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you. If you're getting value out of this, let me know. Leave a comment on the blog or in iTunes, or shoot me an email. I'd just love to hear from you and let you know how these episodes are impacting you, hopefully in a positive way. So have a great day, have a great week. I'll talk to you soon. This is Bob Baker saying so long for now.